In only 2 days, you can move your career further, faster with a Harvard DCE Professional and Executive Development Program. Advance your leadership skills, craft smarter business strategies, build your network, and move your career in the right direction. You'll earn a certificate of completion, add Harvard to your CV, and become the leader you want to be. Our intensive programs are designed to fit into your busy schedule. Attend online or on the Harvard campus. Search Harvard Professional and Executive Development to learn more.
Previously on Two Girls, One Podcast. Something, something, Burning Man. Something, something, social media is the worst. There, now you're all caught up. On this week's episode, we're headed back inside virtual reality. The only safe space where cartoon birds can talk about alcoholism. Or as I like to call it, Ready Player Fun. And now here are the only beta testers for the new Oculus Grift. Jennifer Jamula and Allison Goldberg.
Hey everybody, I'm Jen.
I'm Allie.
Welcome to Two Girls, One Podcast. Allie and I are performers for a long time. We had a show called Blogalogs. It was a live comedy show where we used the internet as a script and performed it as different characters. We created a web series after that called Two Girls, One Show. You can find that on Hoo Ha Ha. And in that show, we would do interviews of people that we wanted to meet behind the internet posts that we've been performing. But then we'd also go on these crazy scripted adventures. Eventually, that led us here to Two Girls, One Podcast, where we are focusing in on the interviews of people behind internet phenomena, trends, things like that, that we find really interesting. We're so glad you're here. Hello, Allie. Hello, Matt.
Hey.
Hello.
Hiya. Hiya! Matt, I was waiting for the hoo-ha-ha, but like we never know what
it's taking a huge poop.
Oh, I was waiting for a surprise. That's a good one. Also, it sounded like Allie
taking a huge poop.
Yes,
Matt has so much collateral on us.
He could ruin our lives. I mean,
I have hours and hours.
We've already ruined our own lives. I mean, the things that you could find about us through Googling—it's really upsetting.
Also, like, I haven't used an incognito tab ever. Maybe I've said that on here before, but like,
I really haven't either. Which, like, given our work, is insane. Yeah. Actually, I did an incognito tab to try to buy Burning Man tickets, apparently.
What? Why was that the line?
But it didn't. People said it was like faster getting in. I don't know. It didn't work.
Cool.
It didn't work. Yeah.
Or that you get a cheaper rate or something.
Not a cheaper rate. Okay. It's not true. Unfortunately, that sounds great.
If I had the time and the wherewithal, I have probably, 1,000 hours of you both speaking on record now. I could piece together any phrase imaginable.
You could deep fake us so hard. Yeah.
I could deep fake you.
Oh, shit. That's so true.
Oh, my God.
Wow. I know you'll never have time to do that. Thank God. But that would be a great prank.
I'm gonna.
Thank God you have two kids.
I'm gonna start using different accents in every episode. I'm going to pitch my voice differently.
to mix them up.
Hello.
quick bit of trivia for the listeners. 6 out of our last 100 episodes are completely synthesized. They're not even us talking.
It's not
true. Which ones are they?
Figure
what about
it
the
out.
Guest, though?
Yeah. That being said, folks, we are trying. I don't know if we can mention this, but we've been trying or talking about for like over a year to do an episode where we do synthesize our voices, correct? Or like piece together.
Yeah, there's a tool where you can do that now, which is
It's an interesting tool. We've talked about it on the show.
Yeah, but it's like not a community. Yeah.
It's not a community, but I really wanted to do the synthesized show, and I recently was training the tool to create my own voice for another thing I was doing, and it just wasn't quite good enough.
It sounds pretty robotic.
It's robotic. Yeah. It sounds like you when you train it enough, but it doesn't sound like a human. So it was not quite there.
So they wouldn't want to listen to us for a whole show like that.
It wouldn't read. You know what I mean? Read as a funny joke. Mm-hmm. It would just be like, what? Why is Siri talking to me? I don't get
cool.
This.
Well, now that we've regaled our listeners with the story of a prank we won't be doing.
I love those kinds of stories.
Where do we go from here?
I don't know. Do we want to tell them what we're doing today? What are we doing today?
Yeah, let's do it.
Great idea.
Let's do it.
Allie, this is like, it's a little heady. So fill in the blanks, please. So we're talking to somebody who has described described as the Dr. Phil of virtual reality. Essentially, this person, Sirmore, it's S-Y-R-M-O-R, yes, is in, I think it's a VR chat, and as a cat avatar is sort of providing like a talk space for people. I don't want to quite call it therapy, but it could be. And it's like other avatars who come to him, people from all over the world, and share their deepest, darkest feelings and secrets. And then he's making videos. So I've heard, I think also Peter Rubin, who was on the show recently, said something about it being like the Humans of New York of VR. So
yeah, such a great idea, just talking to people in VR. I love it.
Oh, this is heavy.
Who was that? What? Was that me?
Marty McFly. Oh.
I don't even know.
That was Marty McFly?
Marty McFly, this is heavy, Doc.
Oh, I didn't even recognize that.
Oh, this is heavy.
Wow. I love older school references. Yeah.
So I'm excited to talk to him about it. Should we dive in?
To the interview? We need to do trivia. I'm sorry. We have to do trivia, although Matt's already given some pre-trivia.
Okay. Thank you for these points of order. We have rules. We have a structure.
We do.
And we must never deviate from that structure. Yeah. You will go to jail. Yeah.
VR jail?
Yeah. That's
I don't think it's real jail.
Sometimes I tell my kids, if they're doing something that I don't like, I'll say like, that's against the law, and I will call the police. And my daughter's like, wait, really? Wait, is that really against? Wait, are you sure? Come on, tell me for real. Is it against the law?
Fucking with kids is
they're
going
to be such goody two-shoes.
That's great, too, because it's like she can't even argue with you. You're like, no, it's the law.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? Like, I don't make the rules.
It's out of my hands.
It's out of my hands. Exactly right.
Yeah. My parents used to tell us, if we questioned them, they'd be like, apparently they used to say, we learned it in law school. And then one day my brother went to his friend's house and the friend's mom told him something. And he said, no, that's not true. That's not what my mom says. And she learned it in law school.
That's true.
And then that backfired for my parents when they looked like assholes. Yeah,
I know. Speaking of following the rules and doing everything exactly by the book, as we always do, I do not have any trivia for you today.
Ooh, Matt, you're going to jail. That's against the law.
He's going to jail. He's going to jail. Do not pass go. Do not
collect
200. What? God damn it.
Matt's trying so hard to embarrass Allie, and it's like not working. She's just like, whatever, I said it.
No, deal with it. There's too much out there. I can't be embarrassed. I would just spend my life in a spiral of shame.
And then you would talk about it to Sirmore.
That's right.
In VR.
Yeah, that's true. So oh my God, do you think if I talk to him, he's going to fix my insomnia?
Yeah.
Or maybe I just need a VR therapist.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not doing an interview. We hired him to do a session for you. Yeah.
That is so nice of you guys.
You're welcome. It's time. Welcome. It's been too long.
It's really fucking time. Yeah. I need to be fixed.
Well, in the meantime, we do not have trivia, but I do have reviews.
Oh shit.
Oh God.
Okay.
This is frightening.
It's frightening.
This didn't go well for me last time.
This did not go well for Allie last time. To be fair, I mean, not to be fair, but those reviews were pulled from like a while ago. But these are updated reviews because at that time,
some newer reviews.
Matt put out the call.
For those who might remember last time we read reviews, some people, not many, but a few people pointed out that Allie tends to interrupt.
Would we rehash this?
Talk too much. And the reason why those reviews have stopped is because I now edit those parts out of the podcast.
That's not true. Allie makes a huge effort to not do that.
Why are we advertising negative things about this?
Yes, I know. Allie takes huge poops.
Now more people
what
can
are
go
talking
look
about?
Up these. I'm very regular.
All right, tell us the good stuff.
These are amazing reviews.
You know
I have amazing reviews for you.
If you like me, please go leave a positive review.
Yes.
Obviously
everyone
does.
Like Jen, but if you like Allie, please go leave a positive review.
I would be devastated if somebody said something even remotely not nice about me. And I think you handled that very gracefully.
People say not nice things about me, but I'm hoping to amass a ton of negative comments and then I'm going to like do an interpretive thing about it.
Yes.
Oh, good.
a TikTok.
That's very therapeutic. You know,
I'm going to do some sort of, I'm going to do a dramatic interpretation, see how that goes. Okay, so let's hear it.
In all seriousness, though, like, not to toot our own horn, but we really do not get negative feedback. I was only razzing you that one time. And people love the show. And like, I'm very proud of the show because people tell us all the time, Twitter, Discord, in the reviews, this is my favorite podcast. Voicemails, people call in, this is my favorite podcast. This is the only podcast I listen to. I randomly came across you guys in Spotify and now I listen to every episode. Like, that means the world to us.
It's always crazy to me on Discord when, like, you know, real humans are popping in and being like, hey, I'm in Denmark. Love your show. And I'm like, what?
I have a confession to make. What? I've paid them all to do it. I inherited $1 billion and I paid them. Just kidding.
That's a little something we call paid acquisition of audience.
We have an amazing group of people who love this show, and I'm perplexed by it and very happy.
So, as regular podcast listeners may know, when you leave a review of a show on your platform of choice, Apple Podcasts, CastBox, Stitcher, that helps people when they kind of discover the show. They want to see what people are talking about, and they'll see a 4-star, 5-star review of like, hey, I love the show, because that is incredibly valuable. So I want to highlight some great reviews and encourage listeners who have been with us a long time, get on your platform and leave us some feedback there. It helps other people find the show. So, first review comes from Tata Brazil 1990. This is on Apple Podcasts. The title is Amazing, and the review says 5 stars. It's the best podcast! ! I love you three! ! The two girls and the podcast, ha ha, kissy emoji.
Take that, Matt.
I like that.
That's great.
One more from Apple. This is Hot Honey Toast.
Ooh,
nice name.
Yeah.
That person says, the people's choice. I shouldn't speak for anyone else, but in this case, I think it's okay. We the people, I guess this person is speaking for all podcast listeners throughout the known universe. We the people nominate 2G1P for greatest podcast in the universe. I need 100 more years, please.
Wow. Well,
that can happen with the way technology's going.
It's true. It's probably going to get better. We're going to have like cooler ways to connect with you all in the next 100 years, I'm sure.
VR podcasts.
Absolutely.
That's true. Oh my God, I really want to hang out in VR. I got to get on this.
I've got more reviews.
Oh, you do?
This one is on, we have millions of listeners, so obviously we're going to have more reviews.
Okay.
This one is on CastBox, another app where the show is fairly popular. This is from Ashley Frank. Best period podcast period ever period. I love it! ! Always has me laughing and learning. I love learning about the different internet communities.
That's so cute, because we've talked a lot about how, like, even like years ago, we were talking about how our goal is like laughing while learning.
That's so true.
Jen and I have talked about that.
It was a stated motto amongst us. Yes.
Laughing while learning. You know, we love people laughing while learning. Learning. I'm into it. Thanks, Ashley Frank. That was good. I like that.
Also, are you related to Lisa Frank? Let us know at June Bugger.
Okay. Or Anne Frank. Sorry. Are you related? Let us know.
One more review on CastBox. This is from David M. And his review says, lies.
What?
Just one word, lies.
That's it?
But then later he comments on his own review in response to someone else, and he says the 100 year claim is a lie. So taking issue with the fact that we haven't actually been on the air for 100 years.
Yeah.
It's a technicality.
We are
really
spreading false information. Yeah. Thanks for calling it out. We tell everybody to fact check us. So keep it up.
Yeah, that's true. Nice work. Someone's doing it.
That was so fun. Is that it for today?
Yeah, there's lots more reviews, lots more voicemails, but we'll get to them at a future date. For now, we have to take a commercial break because we have a million listeners to serve. And if we don't put the ad spot in here, we'll be out like at least $100,000.
I'm so sad. All right, let's do it. Let's go to ads.
advertisement entitled Long Tongue Females Needed for Shoot. From the website I use for all of my tongue-based casting needs, Craigslist.
Long tongue models needed for shoot. Females with extremely long tongues. Compensation, $1,300.
You have a pretty long tongue. Yeah.
I think it's like pretty average.
Really? I feel like I've seen you like touch your chin.
I could use a buck though. No, I can't. But I'm going to see what I can do. You know, because if he doesn't get that many people responding, you could like, qualify. He might have to. I don't think 1,300 is pretty good. Like, what do you think you got to do, though?
They should put a measurement in there. It's like, exactly. What's a long tongue? That's a relative term.
Exactly.
Yeah. Also, is the task fellatio? Because if so, sign me up. No, I'm just kidding. I feel like there's only one thing that could be for.
Yeah. Agreed.
But the pay's pretty good, you know?
Yeah.
If you're going to go that direction.
Yeah. Well, I heard a knock at the door. I think our guest is here. I think it's time to put on our Mr. Rogers cardigan, change our shoes, because...
Change our clothes after that conversation.
I know. Our guest is here. Please welcome Surmer, who describes himself as a guy who talks to people in virtual reality. Welcome, Surmer.
That's me. Hi.
Very official title. He's a guy just hanging out in VR.
Well, that was special.
There's your new theme song.
If you want to use that as your jingle, just let me know.
Yeah, if you can send it to me. Good. That would be really nice.
Very licensing fees are very reasonable here.
Yeah.
That's good to hear.
For our listeners who are not familiar with you and what you do, could you just explain to everyone where you're hanging out, who you're helping, and all that?
I hang out in virtual space and I talk to people around the world as a little cat avatar. And they tell me their stories and about their life, and I get to know them over a period of time. And sometimes our conversations go very weird places. I've talked to a guy who was in the Korean army. I talked to a man who was and still currently is on their deathbed suffering from ALS. I've talked to just kids who explain their experiences with bullying, and some kids who have unfortunate diseases that talk about what it's like living with that. So it's sort of just a mixed bag of people I run into.
And are people seeking you out for these conversations at this point, or is it truly happenstance that you meet?
At this point, I get a lot of people reaching out, but it's sort of a mixture of people who reach out and people who I just happen to run into.
How many users are there on this particular platform, roughly?
Maybe.
I'm trying to gauge your fame.
There's a lot more people who watch the videos than who are actually in virtual space. Mm-hmm. Maybe at any time there might be 2,000 to 3,000 people on it, which is not a lot.
So now when you pop in, you're like a local celebrity.
Yeah, unfortunately. It makes things difficult sometimes.
Yeah.
Really important before we move forward, why did you choose a cat?
I had a black and white cat and I thought it was really cute. And I was like, hey, I want to be cute online. So I became my cat.
I'm judging you.
Non-threatening.
I'm just kidding.
You can tell anything to a cat. Any secrets.
Yeah.
Just to clarify for listeners, which platform are we talking about here? It's VR Chat, right?
Yeah, VR Chat. That's the most popular social VR app.
Okay. You are making videos of these experiences and posting them.
Yeah.
Is there anything around like needing to get people's consent to like have their videos posted if they're avatars or no? Do you tell them you're going to make videos?
Yeah. I mean, like technically, I don't need to. I don't know where the law falls on, you know, one party recording in virtual space. But it'll usually go something like we're talking and then at some point in our conversation, I explain to them what it is I do if they don't already know. And I'll be like, do you mind if I start recording now? And they'll be like, yeah. And I'll tell them, you know, if I ever use any of this footage I'll have you approve it before I use it. And then most of the time, people are cool. Sometimes people want certain things that might identify who they are in real life removed.
Do people ever want you to edit it in like a way that you do not agree with? Or is it mostly just like, I don't want any identifying details?
Yeah, mostly just no identifying details. Mm-hmm. Like, I've never had someone be like, oh, you're making me look bad. Whether yeah. I do it subconsciously or not, I think for the most part, people usually come off pretty well in my conversations with them.
Yeah. So I read that your original intentions in VR were different, and then you stumbled upon this niche. Is that true? And can you tell us about that?
Yeah. So before I did VR chat and like this whole weird thing I'm doing now, I was just like a freelance videographer and editor. And I checked out VR because I guess the same reason most people check out VR, because it's weird and you're constantly being told it's the future. And yeah, I checked it out and I sort of just stuck around for a bit because of the shock value, because there's just a lot of weird things going on. It's very chaotic. And one day while I was in VR, just sort of laughing at the dumb things that happen, this drunk Finnish guy started talking to me. And I talked to him for like 20, 30 minutes until I had this realization where I was like, oh my God, I'm having a real conversation in virtual reality that I'm emotionally invested in. And this guy is like a floating anime girl. And I'm very invested in this person. And I've always wanted to do like human interest type videos. And so I just thought, oh, you know, maybe I can do sort of little interviews or mini documentaries on the different people I meet here. You know, it's not using a real life camera, which I would ideally have been doing, but there's something sort of strange about it, you know? Like with when you interview people in VR, a lot of the time you can talk to people who in real life wouldn't ever open up. Like you just wouldn't be able to do what you're doing with them in VR if a real camera was in their face, because they just wouldn't be able to do it. And then if the real face appeared, you know, they'd be nervous, or there'd be social consequence if they said something stupid or inappropriate. But in VR, no one has that worry. And so I can get really interesting stories and just really personal things from people who might not have ever said those things otherwise.
Can you tell us a little bit about the content of that conversation with the Finnish man that really changed things for you?
He was just having sort of a crisis about life and death. He was talking about, you know, I mean, to be honest, he was sort of rambling. It wasn't very coherent, but I understood the mood or vibe he was in. He was just like, you know, what's the point of life? What's, if we live forever, would there be a point? And he was just sort of going in circles with stuff like that. And at one point, like when it really clicked into me, like, oh my God, this is a very intense human moment, was when he thanked me for listening to him ramble and he started crying. And
oh, wow.
It was just, it hit me very hard in the moment. Because it was just never something I expected, especially with, you know, this is a podcast, so you can't see it. But when I'm talking about these like sad stories, you have to imagine that from my point of view, I'm staring at a very colorful cartoon character,
right?
And not an actual crying person. So
yeah,
there's just this weird effect it gives off.
Can you tell us about some of your early videos, and in particular, which ones really demonstrated that, you know, viewers on YouTube, and I believe you're on Twitch, you know, that people were really into watching these?
The first one that I did, and the first one that, you know, people engaged with quite a bit, was the interview with the drunk Finnish man. And then shortly after that, I interviewed this guy who used a little bird avatar, and he was in the Korean army for a couple of years, because in Korea, old men have to join the army for 2 years, I think. And he drove like an ambulance during that time period. And that was the second one, I believe, I did. And people just really, I don't know, like, for him having such a strange life compared to my mostly North American audience, people were still able to relate to him in a certain way, even though he was not only a guy from a different country who had completely different life experiences than most of my viewers growing up, but he also didn't look like a human at all. He was a little bird. But somehow that didn't really matter. And that was when I was like, okay, you know, this is something I enjoy doing and people seem to like.
Yeah.
And then I just sort of went from there.
That's crazy on so many levels, like breaking down these cultural and geographic barriers, but also you're talking to a bird.
Yeah.
You mentioned that one of the reasons that you were hanging out in VR is, or that you chose to dive in, is that, you know, everybody talks about how it's the future. Do you believe that now?
I know there's a lot of people who watch my videos and they'll say something in the comments along the lines of, oh, you know, I'm very lonely and want someone to talk to, so I'm going to hop in VR also. So there's definitely a big audience for social VR, just for people who want to connect or fill some sort of void. But there's also more practical or other practical uses, like learning a different language. I know a lot of people who use VR as a way to keep themselves engaged when talking to someone from another country and practicing how to speak their language, as opposed to just like a phone call or using a website or something. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely something that will grow. It's just the big barrier is just that it's so... Wait, can I swear?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can fucking swear. Okay.
Please.
Like a motherfucker.
Yeah. It's just that VR is so fucking expensive. So it's going to be a while.
Yeah, I really want to get a headset. But I heard like the cheapest thing I could do to go hang out with you in VR is like $400.
Yeah, it's a pricey investment.
If you want to support Two Girls, One Podcast, you can go to patreon.com/2g1p.
So I have one additional question to add on here. We had a journalist from Wired talk about his experience covering VR, and he talked to us a little bit about embodied presence, which is that when you're in a virtual space, a three-dimensional virtual space, you feel like you're next to someone because you can see and sense the body movements of them. And when you talked about, you know, you're staring at an anime cartoon character who is sobbing in front of you, and that juxtaposition sounds weird, but I'm wondering, like, do you see like body movements of the sobbing, and is that part of the experience, or are you just literally staring at like a static image and you're not getting that physical presence yet, at least in VR chat?
Oh, you can definitely tell a lot of the time when people are crying. And it's weird what, you know, it's not one for one representation. But when you spend time in VR, you sort of just pick up on some level what certain movements in VR are representing in real life. You know, I interviewed a couple not too long ago, and it was the strangest thing because they were in a virtual space, but the way their body language was in the virtual space, you could tell they were a couple. Like, they always had sort of their bodies facing each other, even if their heads were looking somewhere else. They're always like very close to each other. It was just a lot of small things that even if I was just looking at two cartoon characters and I was given no context into who they were in real life, I'd be like, those two have some sort of relationship or close relationship.
I love that because, again, having seen some of your videos, I'm wondering if you, being in the space, are perceiving body language that we just are not quite getting from the 2D images that we are seeing as the audience. And that's really fascinating to me.
So I am curious to know about your process, if it's a process, in terms of how are you guiding these conversations? Is it truly just an open conversation? You see what happens? Or do you have like certain questions that you like to ask? I guess what I'm getting at is, like, I've heard this called like the Dr. Phil of VR. Is this in any way kind of like therapy, or is it just therapeutic in nature?
Are you licensed to
do
this?
Are you licensed?
It's VR chat. You can do whatever you want.
I think it's therapeutic for a lot of people just to sort of get the stuff off their chest. And As for how the conversations are guided, like a recent thing that's happened is because a lot of people know me beforehand, is they won't say it, but I can tell they prepared a little bit of where they want the conversation to go or what they want to say.
Is that annoying?
Yeah, I don't like it too much. But as for how they normally go, it sort of works in a way that would never work in real life, because I'll talk to people very aimlessly for hours and hours, and it's just sort of, you know, for the off chance that it goes somewhere deeper, and I can never really know for sure. I have videos that are less than 10 minutes, but the time it took to get to that point in the conversation was hours, or like multiple conversations with the same person, just to sort of build a rapport for them. It's very unstructured, and the structure of the sort of story arc that comes through in the videos doesn't come out until I edit them afterwards. So I'll just get like a lot of footage. Like, I have a conversation with a guy who talks about his experience with this woman he dated who passed away. But, you know, it's a very sad video because he's talking about, you know, dealing with loss. But the video doesn't include the 45 minutes we spent talking about landscaping. Mm-hmm. And so they're just,
yeah,
they're very loose. And they're, I guess they're sort of almost like street interviews. But in a street interview, you can never go up to someone and assume you have that much of their time. But in VR, you can sort of assume, you know, this person's in VR because they have free time right now.
Interesting.
You know, I have the opportunity to build up rapport before I get into anything more serious.
How deep do you go about yourself? Because one thing I fucking hate at therapy is that I talk about myself and I don't know anything about my therapist. And it's been years. I like just learned he had a daughter a few months ago. I was like, how did I not know? Anyway, so how deep do you go on your end? I know. I thought we had something, Mark. How deep do you go on your end?
Very little.
Yeah.
Okay. Very little.
They don't ask you about you?
Sometimes I get asked, but I'm not.
You seem nice.
I'm pretty nice, I guess.
Well, but this is interesting to me because in a professional therapeutic relationship, you're not supposed to really ask questions about the therapist. That doctor is not supposed to be your friend. So I'm wondering, in the context of people coming to you, is this understood as a therapeutic conversation, or is it more two-way, or, you know, what is the pretext for this?
I think it's just that we get to a certain point in the conversation where they start venting about something that they haven't had a chance to vent about or have had a chance to articulate outside of their own head. And they just sort of run with the opportunity. They're like, you know, it feels really good to be letting this all out. And then before they know it, they've ended up telling me their sort of whole life story. I don't think they're trying to be rude or anything by keeping the, you know, hijacking the conversation without even realizing it. They've just done some stress relief.
So I know I joked, like, are you trained in this? But, like, are you trained in this? Like, like, what's your background? Or do you want to be a therapist? Like, is this, you know?
I am not trained in this. I have no formal training outside of having many conversations with people online. Recently, I have started talking to a psychologist, though, who took interest in my videos. And so I have weekly phone conversations with him about conversations I have in VR, and he sort of helps me psychoanalyze people or gives me sort of tips and tricks for these types of conversations. What he describes what I do as is these conversations have something he calls a stranger on the train effect, which is basically you take a train. You're sitting beside someone you're never going to talk to again and probably never run into again. So you're like, oh, you know, how's the weather? And then you jump from that to going to, yeah, well, you know, my wife's leaving me. I don't think my daughter cares for me too much.
That's a large jump right there. You just went from weather to your wife leaving you.
People do that. I mean, Allie, you and I used to interview people on the subway. We know.
That's true. We literally did interview people on the train. So we know what you're talking about. So The other thing that I found fascinating from your videos is that I watched one where you're talking to a little kid, but you guys are like simultaneously like throwing bombs. So can you talk just a little more about like what goes on in VR chat and the different like scenes they're in? Because that was another additional layer. You know how you said like, oh, I'm talking to this guy and he's pouring out his heart and he's also a bird. You know what I mean? But it's like,
yeah.
So what you're having these conversations in some crazy settings as well. So I was wondering if you could describe that for our listeners.
Yeah, VR chat, they're called worlds, just sort of the different areas you can go to have conversations in. Can vary anywhere from, you know, like a one-to-one recreation of Dundas Square in Toronto to the Wild West to like the moon. Just a lot of very strange locations. And the more colorful worlds, like the Wild West one, is usually where you'll find kids because they're just more drawn to stuff like that. And something I started doing, which I'm not a psychologist, so I don't know if this actually does anything. But whenever there's like a kid I'm interviewing, I'll make sure we go to a very colorful world because I feel like it keeps their energy higher. But I don't know if that's a real thing.
Well, even if it doesn't keep their energy up, I feel like it's a very sweet thing, right? Like if I was going to interview a child in real life, maybe I would take him to a playground. Although maybe that would be really distracting. I don't know. I hadn't really ever thought about this before. I'll get back to you.
Yeah. I mean, it also just makes me think of whenever I'm doing an activity with people, it's easier to get into deeper conversations more quickly. Like if I go on a hike with somebody and like we're not looking, like when you sit at somebody across a dinner table, I feel like sometimes it feels forced. But if you're like walking side by side doing something, you just like fall into some really deep places quickly. Maybe it's something similar to that.
Yes, you should dictate that for online dating. You're done with online dating, but for everyone else, fuck these fucking drinks across a table. Let's go do an activity.
Let's throw some bombs.
Anyway, what were we talking about?
Yeah.
Maybe it's because you're like not making eye contact with them. So there's not that pressure to sort of engage. You just sort of let stuff out.
Yeah. And like when you angle your body towards somebody, that can feel pretty vulnerable too. So yeah, maybe it's just like literally being able to turn away.
Yeah. So what are the other liberties that you think people take in VR, right? So like they're kind of anonymous, so they feel freer to talk. What are the other things that are sort of peculiar to this VR world?
I guess the ability to leave a conversation whenever you want, you know? You never feel locked in.
Just like literally like just vanish?
Yeah. Like if you're talking to someone, you don't want to talk to someone anymore. There's that sort of social pressure that it's rude to just walk out of the room. But there's not really that in VR. If someone can join a conversation much more easily because they know at any point they can just leave.
Yeah, I wish I could do that on online dates. Wish I could just literally snap my fingers, apparate out of there.
What you're describing is essentially ghosting, which is not socially acceptable in a text conversation or maybe a chat, you know, another form of digital communication. So is there something about the culture of VR chat that's like, yeah, whenever people come and go, no big deal?
I think it's maybe less the culture and more that even though lots of people get really into their avatar and it really does feel like an extension of their body, there is sort of the separation of it, you know? It's not like, oh, I didn't leave a conversation. MLG Pro Gamer 420 left a conversation. You know, I'm not going to face any repercussions for what MLG Pro Gamer does.
How many avatars have 420 in the name?
Or 69. Yeah.
Maybe like half.
Yeah, cool. So what you're saying is VR still allows people to be total assholes the way they are on the internet because you can just like vanish and be like, it wasn't me.
Yep.
Cool. Do you think that the connections that people make in VR can be as strong as in real life?
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, there's going to be certain things missing just because so much communication is body language. But I've talked to people for very long periods of time in VR and then met them in real life. And it wasn't like, oh, I'm meeting them for the first time and now we're building a real relationship. It was, we're just continuing our pre-existing relationship that was built in VR. It didn't feel awkward or like I was even meeting them for the first time.
I wanted to know if you could just share with our listeners some of your favorite videos and conversations. Obviously, you mentioned the Finnish guy, the Korean guy talking about his military service. What are the other top ones?
One of my most memorable conversations in VR, I didn't actually record because it happened before.
Well, that's annoying.
It happened before any of this other stuff happened. And I was just hanging out in a world in VR chat, sort of doing my own thing. And then there was like this kid who came up and started talking to me. And I was sort of like half there and half not. I was doing something else at the time. And this kid just sort of started like talking about his day. And then he started like whispering something, like a story. And I was like, what's he talking about? And he started telling me about how recently his grandma passed away. And he felt bad because when his grandma died, all his family members were sad, but he was really happy because his grandma was always mean to his mom. And so he was happy she died. And that was just like the kid, like the way he was like whispering it, he was very aware he was saying something that was like wouldn't be taken too well by most people. But
yeah,
he obviously understood the, you know, I always have trouble saying this fucking word, anonymity of VR.
Anonymity.
Like he just like opened up
that
to
seems
me.
That's like a word you should be familiar
yeah,
with.
Yeah, I really should. Like I wasn't even engaged in a conversation with him, and he still just told me this like probably his darkest secret from his young life.
How old do you think the kid was, and how old are kids in general? Because when you say kid, but you're also talking about a kid who has access to a computer or a VR headset. So these are not 7-year-olds, are they? 13,
no, he was
16?
Definitely 7 or 8. There's a lot of kids under 10.
Really? With a VR headset? No kidding. Wow.
Fucking rich kids.
Yeah.
Where's my VR headset? Kids.
And also parents who are just like, yeah, put on a VR headset and go into a virtual world where there's no rules. And I'll see you later. See you in a couple hours.
I think there's
that's
probably a lot of
interesting.
That. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. None of the kids I've talked to in VR chat should have been in VR chat. But it's sort of like they're already there. And it's not like I can say, oh, you know, you should get off this game. It's not appropriate for you. They're not going to listen to me.
Yeah.
No, certainly. That's so
I wonder if we live in an interesting time for that or not. Because right now, you know what I mean? Like, I make jokes about my parents on the podcast because I'm so confident they'll never listen. But, like, will that gap always be there? Like, when we're old, will we not understand the technology our kids are using? Or is this just a gap we're in right now because technology has, like, advanced so rapidly? I don't know. That's a neither here nor there shower thought. But I'm just going to throw that out there.
It's a great question. It's a great question. Yeah. I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah. I mean, I've talked to people in VR who are just a few years younger than me. I'm 23 years old, but I've talked to people who are like 18, 19, and the way we talk and just like the references they make are so much different, like so drastically different, even though we should be a part of the same generation. And that's just going to get more and more intense. Like there's this one kid I talked to in VR. He and his girlfriend are both like 10 years old and they're dating in VR. And they had their first kiss in VR as like these cartoon characters. And I asked him, I was like, do you recognize, like, what do you think of that? Is that normal to you that you had your first kiss in virtual reality? And they could not think of anything strange about it. They were just like, what? It's just, you know, it's just normal.
When they have a real kiss, their minds are going to be blown. Although I don't know what it's like in VR right now. Maybe a kiss feels good.
Yeah, I just sort of assumed that like the future it'll be like, oh, I've lost my virginity in VR, but like not IRL.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. That's crazy. Also, because like you're kind of kissing the air.
For now.
No, it is very strange for most people.
And also, you're just like butting cartoon heads against each other. I think maybe that's just like a cute kid thing where
that's
like they just don't know yet. trying to think of an analogy and I can't. Okay.
The analogy is like, oh, you know, this is not quite right, but like you kiss the mirror or you're on the phone and you're like, you know, talking, you're saying things and doing things that may not be appropriate for your age because you're not ready to do the real thing. Is that's just what this is. We do, but we elderly, you know, senior citizens think it's weird for the cartoon
characters.
Yeah,
well, except that like when I was a kid, we like knew it was practicing.
Well,
not that I did things like that for sure.
No, but no. So I guess so. Maybe the question is: do these kids know that it's practice, or do they think, "Yep, no, I did it, and I kissed my girlfriend, and that's all there is to do"?
The analogy is more like the things I thought when I was 10 that made no sense, and then as an adult, you realize it makes no sense. You know what I mean? Like, are they going to look back and be like, "My first kiss was in VR," or are they going to look back and be like, "I thought my first kiss was in VR, but like obviously it wasn't"? You know?
Yeah, I don't know. I think we should give kids a little more credit. Yeah. They're not, they're pretty dumb, but they're not that dumb. You know what I mean? But who knows?
I'm 35 and I'm still figuring shit out. So I don't know. So yeah. Do you have any other stories to share in terms of just your top interviews?
There's this one guy I met in VR chat. He was a Korean guy. And, you know, we talked for a couple hours. And I made an offhand comment. It wasn't very serious. It was just sort of like, hey, if you know you're thinking of traveling anywhere, come to Canada, come to Toronto, and we'll hang out. And I just said it offhandedly after talking to him maybe a total of 2 hours. And he actually did it. He came to Canada. He came to Toronto for like 2 weeks. And we just like hung out and became very good friends after he did that. And it was just, you know.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Weren't you worried that was going to be like super awkward?
I mean, I don't know. I think anyone who does something like that must be pretty outgoing. I think I stopped worrying about people being weird that I talked to online a long time ago.
I don't know. Jen and I have had a very different experience.
Who else have you met?
I talked to this trans woman who was homeless for a while in her teen years, and she just sort of like lived the folk punk life, sort of hopped trains and played their guitar and got into weird adventures. And then eventually they started, they made it to California and they started dating someone who has sort of this community house where people are like more or less free to just live there. I think it's called a commune. And I have no idea how those work. But yeah, I had talked to them in virtual reality. And then I went to California for a week. And I just hung out with them at their little commune that had a ton of people and listened to them play guitar. And it was just a very strange real life moment that had come out of this VR conversation.
Some of these human stories are so amazing, and then it makes me wonder, have you encountered people who are just total trolls and just totally bullshitting you, like just making shit up and not who they say they are? And then you either learn that, or is everyone really truly pretty honest?
Well, I mean,
ooh, catfishing is strange in VR.
Catfishing.
I mean, there are like,
it could literally be a catfish.
There are a lot of trolls, I guess, you know, obviously most of VR are not, I shouldn't say most. It's a mixed bag of things. You wouldn't be able to have a lot of these conversations if they didn't make it so accessible. But the consequence of making a VR chat being so accessible and being a Wild West is obviously, you know, you can join a world and you'll either have someone who wants to have a genuine conversation, or you'll have someone who's just like, you know, yelling profanity or saying racial slurs. You'll get both. And for all my stories that have been on the channel, it's not even like I search that much for it, but I've had them all confirmed. The first time I ever thought someone was trolling me was actually one of the kids I talked to who said they had the butterfly condition, which is the condition where, you know, their skin's very sensitive, and so stuff like taking a shower or a bath is very painful. And when I talked to him, like when he reached out to me and he told me he had that, I was like, oh no, you know, I've become popular enough that there's going to be people who just want to tell me like fake stories. But then I saw that he like streams on Twitch every day, and you know, his condition is very well documented and it was a real story. Stuff like, you know, the man who has ALS, you know, they can't function physically too much on their own anymore. They have helpers. They also stream their life daily on Twitch of what it's like being in their condition. And so for the most part, I don't think I've ever been tricked into anything.
Because of the anonymity there, it allows us to be so open. And do you think that enables people to be more open in real life or less open, and that increasingly we'll flock to these platforms in order to express ourselves?
I think for the most part, if you're someone who is not talking to anyone in real life, but you're talking to someone or talking to people in VR, I don't think you'd be talking to people in real life if VR wasn't there. I don't think VR causes the problem. I think maybe you're having, you know, you might have social problems already, and then you end up using VR to sort of fill that void. I don't think the reverse happens too often. But there are a lot of, you know, I hear a lot of success stories of people who start having conversations in VR, and then it becomes easier for them to, you know, have small talk or maintain conversations in real life.
I mean, my head always kind of goes here, unfortunately, but the analogy I was thinking is like, because of online dating, people, I think at least, are less inclined to talk in real life at bars, right? Because they can just go swipe. So I just didn't know what maybe the relationship was where VR allows people to open up because of the anonymity, but like, where is our culture headed in terms of people's ability and willingness to open up?
I think as VR becomes more popular, there will be a lot more people who use it to open up in ways that they wouldn't have been able to before. You know, right now, my channel and what it is I do is so strange. And a lot of people check it out just because they hear about it and it's weird. But I think maybe in 10 years, it's not going to look as weird. I think people might be a little desensitized to communicating through talking cartoon characters.
Well, thank you so much, Surmer, for taking the time to talk with us. And we hope to see you in VR and divulge all of our deepest secrets to you.
I hope for that, too. I'll see you in VR chat. Yeah.
See you there. That was beautiful.
It was beautiful. I just want to know, I feel like we've asked this question in different, slightly different contexts before, but what would your avatar be in VR chat?
Yeah, I've been thinking about it a lot because I really do want to get in there. I want to be like a person, but like a really badass version of myself. Like I want to have like crazier hair and like wings and just be like giant. I don't know. I want to be some kind of wizard, but like a human.
Nice.
Is that not, you know,
that's
or
perfect.
A slab of bacon? I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, well, I like how imaginative you're being. I was thinking, like, I'd love to be a man, just to, like, see what that feels like. That could be kind of cool.
That's really good. And if you did a voice changer and, like, saw people treat you differently in VR, oh my God, that's good.
No, I get paid well in VR.
100 VR cents money. To the dollar, yeah.
See, my perception, never having gone in there in VR chat, is that it's all, like, wacky cartoon characters. Yeah. Whatever. So you being like a normal human man would be totally out of place
right,
in VR chat.
Yeah, I'd be the
odd
man out.
I don't know. Can you only be like Kermit the Frog? I don't know. Jen, I love that. You should do that and document it.
Yes.
Like, what are the differences?
Yeah.
You're like rolling deep in like digital coin that like doesn't translate anywhere.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wow.
That'd be awesome.
Matt, what would your avatar be?
That was so great.
Maybe like Link from Legend of Zelda or something,
cool.
Some video game character. But
yeah,
like,
that makes sense.
I would like to know, like when you upload a profile picture, even if it's a cartoon character or whatever, to like a social network or Discord or like your gaming, you know, your gamer tag on a network, it's just a JPEG, you know? But like, how do you upload a three-dimensional avatar of Sonic the Hedgehog in VR chat? Like, do you have to make it? Are there people who make these models? Like, that's
a good
bit of work.
I assume that it's like you choose your player and build your player the way it is in other.
Yes, but
games.
How? Because these characters can't be baked into the platform, so you must
be uploading
them because they're infringing. So the platform is not going to have that. Platform's not going to be like, do you want Bugs Bunny or do you want Sonic?
Yeah.
So these
yeah.
are people uploading their own shit, but like, Are they making them? Are they 3D modeling them in Blender?
Yeah.
I am curious.
Maybe
about
it's
that.
A combo of both. Because I told you guys I tried Oculus where you build your own avatar and it was fucking amazing.
Oh, totally. I guarantee there's like a
so
basic
maybe you can
like
build
default
your own and then
human.
You can like upload. Yeah. Well,
put a mask
I'll
on it or something.
I'll have to figure it out when I get a fucking Oculus.
Yeah, get
headset.
It.
Get it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Such an amazing project. Like, I wish I'd thought of that. You know, it's well, really
you wish
good.
You thought of VR?
Yes.
Yeah, wish I had invented VR.
Yeah. In many ways, it reminded me of our train project, which was your original idea. Allie wanted to call it whytthefuckareyouonmytrain.com. And I was like, we have to
and
take out the word
fuck. And
then,
as usual, Jen toned me down a little, which is for the best.
But, you know, you had that interest. And I feel like this is a cool extension of something like that. So
what's crazy is when we did Why Are You On My Train, it wasn't that long ago. I mean, it's nearing a decade, which is fucking frightening. But we were doing it on a flip cam. Like, you couldn't even really record video on a smartphone yet, mm-hmm. you know? And now,
such a short time later,
VR, which is wild. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's a long time later, but it's just short to us because we're old biddies now. But 10 years, even 10 years feels short to have advancements, to have that rapid of an advancement.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. In, on the human scale, incredibly short.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Man.
Considering how long it took to like build the steam engine or some shit, like centuries. And now, now we're zipping along, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's wild to think of like what's next and what Amelia's going to be doing. And you're not even going to know.
I know. I was thinking about that when that little kid like whispered his secret. I was like, what?
I'm really floored by that because, you know, you buy your kid a PlayStation and you say, okay, these three games are safe for your kid. And then, then they download something, Call of Duty, and they're online playing. And I understand that progression. But you hand a 7-year-old a VR headset and be like, well, I'm sure everything's fine. Go have fun. Like, what? What kind of parenting is that? But I guess
we
shouldn't be surprised.
When I was young, we were allowed on the internet and, you know, we would dial it up. And my best friend and I would go into chat rooms and try to initiate cyber sex with strangers.
You're exactly right. So where? Here's my question.
We were like 10. We thought it was so funny.
Totally. Where was the computer? Because there was a rule in our house where it's like the computer was in the living room and you couldn't like go to your bedroom and go into
secret
chat rooms.
It wasn't in the bedroom. I'm thinking of one specific friend. If she listens sometimes, she'll know exactly who she is, but she's not going to want to be named. It was in this like living room-ish, but it like wasn't the main living room, and there was like a loft there. This same friend also threw the fucking best parties growing up.
Yeah, she did.
So this sounds like parents were like off to the side, not really around. It's sleepover, and then
but,
you
I
dial
mean,
up.
It's not like her parents weren't involved. I mean, her parents are amazing. They're like, and she and her brother are like amazing, well-adjusted people. So there's that also eternal conundrum of how much do you let your kids just explore and do weird shit and kind of trust their judgment. I don't know. Because that kid ended up having this really lovely experience with Surmer, but like, of course, who knows what else he's encountering.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. It's just making me think of the equivalent to when we were really little of our parents just letting us go play, like go outside and play. But I guess the difference is like when you're going into these virtual spaces, you are looking to meet people most likely, at least when we go online, like chat rooms were the thing. But I don't know.
You know, it's the whole thing of like talking to strangers.
Yeah.
You go in the yard, you know what I mean? Go, don't talk to strangers. And then they, you know, there's a whole, then send them into a world of strangers.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. There's no one from the Korean military down the block when you're going to play at the playground, I guess is the difference.
I mean, that's
wild
though, in terms of breaking down cultural barriers, you know, and getting different voices heard. It's really crazy.
Yeah.
Like I'm literally thinking about like, you know, people in conflict zones, you know, North Korea, South Korea, like that they could meet each other, like Israel, Palestine. I think like literally like conflict resolution in VR
World
is
peace.
Like wild. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Cause so many of these conflicts are like the dehumanization where they don't interact with the other side, like do not have contact. So it's like kind of a wild thing to think they could hop
in a safe
in
space
VR chat and start talking. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or a space where if you really got angry, there's really not much you could actually do to the other person.
Right.
There have been like nonprofit and journalistic VR experiments of like, you could read a story in the newspaper or whatever online of like, homelessness is really bad, guys. There's a lot of homeless people and that's a problem. Or you could go into VR and live the life of a homeless person for 2 hours, and then you're like, holy shit, we gotta fix homelessness.
Those are, I've heard about those too. There was one also about like living the life of experiencing what it's like to be a refugee, like fleeing.
Right, yes.
The tough thing with that too, though, is like, if I have a couple hours free for some entertainment and relaxation, that's like
Of course, that's the hurdle. I mean, that's the hurdle to reading any story about like, it's bad news in Syria. Am I gonna kick back and enjoy an article about that? Probably not.
Yeah, you know? But like to, you know, people interacting and having conversations, like that always feels exciting. I don't know, to me at least.
Yeah, I agree.
And on that note, where conversations are exciting, we're going to stop. See ya.
I'm not excited anymore. Bye.
I'm out of here.
Well, as always, we want to know what all of you think. And if you've engaged in any of these conversations, have you yourself talked to Surmer? That would be really cool. So tweet at us. I'm at Junebugger.
I'm at Allie Gold, A-L-L-I-G-O-L-D.
You can email us at 2g1podcast@gmail.com. We love hearing from you, as you all know by now, especially voicemails. So you can call us and leave us a voicemail about anything you want. And that number is
347-871-6548. That number again,
347-871-6LIT.
And you can join us in our Discord, discord.gg/2G1P. Join in on the conversation about the show, suggest questions for upcoming interviews, suggest guests, or just talk to us about who you are and where you're from. Allie, if they want to contribute, how do they do it?
You can go to patreon.com/2G1P and please do. This show, it takes time, believe it or not. And remember when Sir Moore said he has like a ton of conversations and then like a little bit results in what you see? That's kind of how it works. So if you could go support the show, that would be fantastic. Patreon.com/2G1P.
All right, everybody, we'll see you next week.
See ya.
Two Girls, One Podcast is hosted by Allison Goldberg and Jennifer Jamula, then broadcast to a virtual room full of knockoff Pokemon in VR chat. I mean, produced and edited by Matt Silverman in New York City. Production assistance is provided by the Podglomerate. This show is a production of The Daily Dot, the number one source for in-depth reporting about life on the internet. You can help offset our production and hosting costs by supporting 2G1P on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/2G1P today.
The Podglomerate. A sonic universe.
Long tongue models needed for shoot. You're looking Groschen, I'm looking for 5 marks.